Glad I could help you out on the clapping over there. That is so stressful for me, I have to say. I'm always, I'm not doing this right. And then Andrew's over there doing double claps, and I'm just like, I'm in preschool when it comes to clapping. Not really all that on that at all. So way back in the day in Montana, Sam and Ned found out that Montana was offering $5,000 bounty on wolves. They had a big problem with wolves. Wolves were taking over everything. And so Montana said, we'll give you $5,000 for every wolf. And Sam and Ned see this as an opportunity, and they go to Montana. $5,000 per wolf, that's a lot. And they get their tent, and they set the tent up. Apparently that's what you do when you go camping. I don't know. But that's what they did. They get their tent, they set it up, all right? And then that morning, Ned gets up first, and he goes outside, and there are 50 wolves. Snarling, drooling, sharp teeth, red eye wolves, growling, ready to pounce at any moment. And Ned comes running into the tent and says, Sam, wake up, wake up. And Sam says, what is it? He says, we're rich. It's a matter of perspective, isn't it? You see, in our scripture reading, all right, the king of Israel only saw what? Fear. That's all he saw. He saw nothing but fear. But the little slave girl saw an opportunity. The eyes of faith make a difference. The way we look at the world makes a difference. This little girl, a slave in a foreign land with foreign cultures and foreign languages, all of that going on, taken away from her family, taken away from her home, taken away from everything she's ever known and loved, and here she is having to serve the enemy's general and do all this, and she says, if only she still believed. Despite all the circumstances she'd been through, despite all the pain and heartache that she's experienced, she still knew, my God can still work, even on people who are my enemies. She spoke out in faith. Because technically, if you've read the Bible, you know Naaman technically was the enemy. He was the enemy commander, general, big deal guy, all right? Except, if you heard that first verse, God used Naaman. It says God gave Naaman the victory over Israel. You're kind of like thinking, that's kind of like when you're a Dolphin fan and you're cheering for the Jets. What the heck is the problem with you? The Giants, it's okay, but never the Jets. What is going on? Because why? Because Israel had strayed again. If you've read the Bible, you know these people are always straying, and God's always having to bring them back. And sometimes he uses other people to bring them back. And he was using Naaman to say, hey, pay attention. He's like the little speed bumps you get. Get in your lane. Get it right. Get it right. And it's not just in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus talks about Naaman. He's trying to get these people. They are blinded by their expectations. They know that the Messiah is going to come. Oh, when the Messiah comes. Oh, when the Messiah comes. Oh, when God comes. Eh? And Jesus is like, hello. But he wasn't meeting their expectations. He wasn't looking the way they thought he would look. He wasn't acting the way they thought he would. He wasn't teaching the way he thought. And they were blinded by their expectation, and they could not see God right there before them, in their midst. And they kept saying, Jesus, can you move? We're looking for God. Do you ever find yourself doing that, where you're blinded by your expectations? You think it's supposed to go one way, and it goes a totally different way. Naaman, is coming now to Israel, and he's got great expectations. He's excited. He's very excited. So he's coming with, he's got a letter from his king to the king of Israel. He's got his servants. He has brought over $3.5 million worth of gold and silver. That is a lot of money. And don't forget the clothes, which I don't know anything about clothes, because have you met me? I'm not a clothes horse at all. But Barbara had made a great point in the Bible study. Back in those days, you just didn't go to the mall and pick up clothes. You had to make them. First, you had to get the sheep, and then you had to
shear.
That's the word. I was going to say de-wool the sheep, but that's not the right word. So you have to shear the sheep, and then you have to do something else with the stuff, and then the other stuff, and then. And these were festal garments, so this is like high-cut stuff, all right? Anyways, he's got great expectations. He's got the letter, he's got his servants, he's got all this wealth, he can't wait, and he shows up at the king of Israel's house and says, "Hey, here's a letter from my king to you." And of course, Israel's king just falls apart. He falls to pieces because he don't have a clue what's going on. He really doesn't know God. He doesn't know that he's got a prophet. And for darn sure, he doesn't know how to cure leprosy. How am I supposed to help this man? That's what the king said. Remember, I forgot that part. But if you heard it, Naaman has leprosy. The letter says, cure him. It's like asking me to sing. No. That doesn't work. Naaman has expectations about how all of this is playing out, and it isn't going at all the way he thought it would. The king panics, doesn't know anything about it, rips his clothes, and then Elisha comes by, sends the messenger to the king and says, "Hey, send him over to me." So the king says, "All right, I don't have it, but this guy does. Here's the directions. You go see this prophet." So I'm thinking by now, Naaman, I don't know if he's excited or annoyed. You know how that can be sometimes? You're looking forward to a moment. He had been looking forward to being healed. He'd been looking forward to being cured. He was pretty excited. But now he's saying, okay, well, we're not quite there yet. You got to go one more stop. Now, sometimes that can build up excitement. You know, kind of like, well, like a Christmas morning. You know, and you wake up at 3 a.m. and your parents say, no, not yet. Got to wait till the sun rises. You got to wait. And you go, oh, but I can't wait. And you just get more and more excited. You got 3 hours to get excited about. So sometimes you wait a little bit. I don't know if he was excited or annoyed. I know what happens after. Because he shows up at Elisha's house. And I'm sure he was thinking, okay, I bet you we're going to exchange some pleasantries. Talk a little bit of small talk. And then he'll do his little magic hocus pocus thing and I'll be cured. Naaman shows up, and Elisha does not. Doesn't come out, doesn't welcome him, doesn't show up. Sends a servant out there and says, with a prescription pretty much, "Here, go out in that river and dip yourself 7 times. Take a bath." And Naaman's expectations are not being fulfilled. Has that ever happened in your life? You have expectations and they don't get fulfilled. That's what's happening now. And up until now, Naaman's been pretty cool. He's been doing okay, but this just sends him over the edge. And he's just like, "I can't believe." And let me tell you something. And plus, I've never been there, but I've been told the Jordan River is no pristine, wonderful river. It's a knee-deep, muddy stream pretty much, most of the places. Up there in Damascus, where Naaman is from, they've got 3 fast, clear, running rivers. That if you're going to go to a river, that's where you're going to go. Not this Jordan mud puddle place. And so he's totally ticked. But these servants, bless their hearts, say, "Hey, if he had asked you to do something really difficult, you would have done it. This is easy, easy peasy," as John likes to say. Isn't the easier thing, isn't doing the easy thing easier? Let's go that way. And here's the deal. We all know sometimes the easy thing is not easier. In order for Naaman to get healed, he's got to get past his anger. in order for Naaman to get healed, he's got to get past his expectations. In order for Naaman to get healed, he has to put away his pride. Now, probably nobody here, just the ones watching on the TV. Nobody here ever stumbles on pride, do they? We don't ever trip up on our pride or our anger or our expectations. We got no problems with those things, do we?
Never.
Or maybe we do. You see, it's so hard when sometimes trying to hear what God is trying to speak to us and listening so that we can understand. Years and years ago, back when I was in school, we had this thing called the telegraph. They used Morse code. It was before phones. It was before seriously, dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot. Okay? And so that's the way you communicated. And so this company, large company, big financial reward, advertises they need an operator, telegraph operator. And so all these guys showing up, you know, in the 1800s, back when I was in school, and they're lining up, and they get the, you know, the secretary greets them, fill out the application, all of that, and they're all sitting around, and this woman comes walking in. This is in the 1800s. And she walks in, asks for an application, fills it out. After she fills it out, she turns it into the secretary, and then she goes back in the office. I jump in the line. And she goes straight to the office. She hasn't been called. No one opened the door. Nobody said, come on in. No, nothing like that. She goes in there. The guys are all looking at each other like, what the heck? What's going on with this? What's this? Get just a few minutes later, out she walks with the boss. Says, so glad to have hired you. Look forward to having you start with us tomorrow. They're like, what? What happened? What happened? He says, from the very beginning, I've been sending a message. If you understand this, come right in. The job is yours. There it was. There it was. But she was the only one who heard it. The opportunity was for everyone. Anybody could have heard it. She was the only one that listened. But I have to tell you, the thing I like about Naaman on this story is the way he did listen. He listened to a little servant girl who spoke to his wife. Now, I don't know if he listened to his wife or he listened to the servant girl, but he listened to one of them because he went to the king and said, hey, there's a chance I can get healed. I don't know which one. They're hidden figures. We never even get their name. This man who has a huge general, he's got all these great credentials, all this great wealth, all this great power, goes off, gets a little bit angry, goes off, and his servants approach him, even when he's angry, which is a hard thing to do, I think, but they approach him and say, and he listens to them. And they're not named. They're hidden figures. But he listens. And because he listens, he gets healing. Because he listens, he gets to be whole. Because he listens, he gets to have a new identity. And so the question for us is, who is our hidden figure that we need to be listening to? God is speaking to us. Are we listening? What's God saying? Or maybe we're one of those hidden figures. Courageous little girl to speak up the way she did. Courageous servant to confront your master when he's angry. And yet they spoke truth to power. What's God calling us to do? Are we being called to listen? Are we called to speak? One of the best things about this story is the way it involves a little muddy river. You know, people sometimes think baptisms are all this great, but sometimes it doesn't get to work that way. You've seen me do the ocean baptism. Sometimes, yes, it's real nice and flat, and sometimes it's a dang undercurrent out there, and you're looking for sharks, and you're just kind of worried and just glad there's no, you know, you couldn't die! But it's not about the water. It's about the presence of God.
Amen.
Our baptisms, whether we were dipped or dripped, doesn't matter. It's not about the water. It's not a one and done thing. The trick about a baptism is this. It's not about getting wet. It's about being transformed. It's not because we're perfect. It's about saying, this is who I choose to follow. And it isn't just one day. It's each and every day of our lives. Are we willing to submit ourselves before God? Are we willing to surrender our expectations, our wants, our needs, our agenda, and receive God's? It's so easy to receive salvation. And yet, sometimes, so hard. All we do is listen, submit, obey. Allow God to transform us each and every day. And the beautiful part about it is you get another chance. You didn't do it good today, or you didn't do it good this morning, you have an afternoon before you. What I said in the prayer, each and every breath we take is a new opportunity God gives to us. Hey, you did better, but you can even do better than that. Let's try it again. Each and every day. We're celebrating Independence Day tomorrow. We celebrate freedom. And it isn't just about freedom from, it's freedom for. What are we doing with the gift of freedom God has given to us? We have been set free from sin. We have the gift of salvation. What are we doing with that gift? We've been given the best country on the whole planet. What are we doing with that gift? We have been given loved ones who absolutely fill our hearts with love and joy and peace. What are we doing with these gifts entrusted to us? God calls us. God speaks to us. God is before us. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen.